like to call to order the May 18th, 2016 meeting of the Tiburon Town Council. Could I get a roll call, please? Oh, I do want to announce we had a closed session, but there is nothing to report. Could I get a roll call for the regular meeting, please?
Here.
This time I would like to open the floor for any persons wishing to address the town council on subjects not on the agenda. You may do so at this time. Please state your name for the record in 3 minutes.
Angela McInerney. I've actually sent you all emails and have only heard back from Alice. I'm working to promote safety for bikers, pedestrians, and vehicles on Roundville Road. It's an extremely dangerous road to drive on. I've actually almost been hit this morning and yesterday. What I would ultimately like to happen is have the vegetation cut back. I would like the speed limit lowered, and I'm also talking to other neighbors about hot spots, possibly. Also, there's an interest in sidewalks. I understand that's a huge issue with funding, but that's an ultimate goal. But what I would ultimately like is the speed limit lowered. There is a project coming up with the slurry, and we already need to repaint the road with speed limit on the surface. So I would like the speed limit lowered, and I would like that considered in the future project.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, this time I would like to move on to the presentation of the Annual Art Educator Award. We have a presentation by Heritage and Arts Commission Chair Fran Hall. The award this year goes to Haya Weitzman, Arts Educator at St. Hilary School.
Thank you, Mayor Tolini, for the opportunity to make this presentation at the council meeting. It is my honor to introduce you to this year's recipient of the Heritage and Arts Community Arts Education Award. This award recognizes outstanding achievement in education and the promotion of public awareness of heritage and arts education to laud exceptional commitments, contributions, and projects. This year's honor, Haya Weitzman. Haya has such a stellar bio, it's hard to sum up in a brief synopsis. Haya joined St. Hilary's faculty in 1998, but her achievements go far beyond the impeccable effort she puts into her art classes. One of her key projects is Pencils for Africa, through which St. Hilary's children learn how to connect with school children in African countries. In 2008, Haya worked with students at three different schools on Faces of Hope project, creating more than 150 handmade quilts, which were sent to orphanages in South America and India. She also worked locally with the Landmark Society to teach Tiburon history, flora, and fauna, and further works on a project called Big History, which merges history and art history, drawing artist Tom Killian into her work with the St. Hilary children. Amazing accomplishments with no signs of slowing down. Kaya, please come up to this podium. Here at the town hall as well. And then I would like to ask if the council members have anything to add to the presentation.
think the community support here is amazing, and congratulations to you, and thank you for all that you do. I think all of us are just in awe of educators and people that can inspire people to get involved in the arts and appreciative of the arts at a young age. And speaking of a mother of two small kids, that type of thing really excites me, and proud to have you as part of our community. Thank you very much for all that you contribute.
Thank you.
To me and Fran, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for all your work on this. And for all of my community from St. Hilary School, I cannot do this without you. And Mr. Ajania, thank you for being a major part of Pencils for Africa. It's great to be a collaborative teacher along with you to do this program and to get our community together with all of this and to combine the arts with a global leadership, social responsibility education. And thank you, Mike, St. Hilary's community, so much. You guys support me and make me want to come to work every day. So thank you very much.
Start our meeting. Thanks, everyone. At this point, I would like to move on to the consent calendar. Is there anyone in the public or on the town council that would like to remove any items on the consent calendar? Seeing none, could I get a motion to adopt the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. I'd now like to move on to the action items. I apologize, I'm always moving things around. I'll try not to do this every day, but I would like to move the farmers market on Main up first, as I do have Kelly Smith in the audience with us. Is there a staff report, or is that me?
Madam Mayor, that would be you.
Okay. So last year we had summertime on Main, and we were very pleased with the community feedback that we got from that, and felt that a lot of the merchants understood that it provided a lot of exposure, which they were pleased with. We also asked merchants and the public if there were anything we could do to improve on Summertime on Main. And through a couple brainstorming sessions, we heard that that people would really like to see a farmer's market. So we started tossing around that idea and talking about what would be involved in that. It quickly became apparent that it's much more work than any of us were equipped to handle. So then we began looking at who in the community does farmers markets well, and came across Kelly Smith. And she is with Agriculture Community Events Farmers Markets. She runs 12 other farmers markets, and we are pleased to have her on board and excited about helping us get one started here in downtown Tiburon. And she is right there, and she is willing to answer any questions if the council has any questions.
I guess the one question I have is that this is going to be a weekly event?
Correct, for 20 weeks.
For 20 straight weeks?
Yes, June 16th through October
27th. Okay. Is there any reason why it's every single week as opposed to, because what happened when Friday Nights on Main started was also every single week. And that kind of lost its luster because it was always there. And then in shrinking it down to four or five particular Fridays that were well tailored to, for example, school calendars when people would be around, it seemed to blossom back up again, you know, because a little bit of sometimes less is more. And I was just wondering what the thinking was to do it so many times. That was my wondering.
Well, we did discuss various iterations. Summertime in Maine we did every other week, and when in discussions about a farmer's market, there seemed to be a rather strong sentiment that you need that continuity where people expect it and know that it's there and can come and shop think grocery shopping is a little different than Friday nights on Main, and that people need fresh produce often, and hopefully they will support our downtown and come and shop local.
So I have a question. Was any consideration given to the possibility of undermining our two local markets that really don't have that great a customer pool and actually go to great lengths to sell local produce and organic produce?
We did discuss that. I think the hope is that we'll have a wider array of items, variety, and hopefully just tap into a different market. The people will come to farmers market to shop and be part of the community and still shop at our local markets.
Jeez. What about the two markets? Were they consulted about any concerns they might have?
We did not speak to them.
I know people really like the idea of a farmers market. When it was considered again, when it was considered a couple of years back, there was real concern, but the markets were new at the time. I mean, maybe you're right. They have an established customer base now, but it would have been nice to get a little feedback from them.
And we can still do that.
Just if I could add some commentary. One of the things we've been working on, and I would say that we've worked on it, but haven't done, haven't achieved the level of success we would like, is to revitalize our downtown and to find reasons to bring people downtown. Find reasons that have people utilize the existing commerce that's downtown. It's one of the vital arteries within our community, and we have not been as successful as we'd like to be. I think that Mayor Tlini has done an excellent job in vetting the options. And
we're going to have we'll have a public hearing, yes.
But who was that?
We will have a public hearing.
I'm making a comment here, and we'll have a public meeting in a minute. So I just think that this consideration deserves vetting here at the council and with the public. But we've got a lot of energy, and more energy from merchants than I think we've had before to do this. And I suspect that it'll be a positive thing for the community and a positive thing for all of the visitors that come downtown. So enough said.
Any other questions? Okay, this time I would like to open for public comment.
I'm Steve Sears. In answer to your question regarding the markets, I spoke with the general manager of Woodlands Market yesterday, and he is all in favor of a farmer's market. He thinks it would be a great idea, and he thinks that any efforts we can do to bring people downtown, as Councilman Frazier said, is a positive move. So as I echo what Jim says, I think it will bring people downtown. It's the markets that Kelly runs have a good reputation, and I think it's a really good move. I think we really need to figure out as many ways as we can to get people to come downtown. The number of people who are coming into town to shop at the restaurants and the retail stores has gone down in the last 8 to 10 years with other competition. I'm sure we're going to have a meeting tomorrow with the merchants, but I'm sure that we're going to get nearly 100% of the merchants in favor of doing this. So they even want to bring food trucks down as a part of it. All the restaurants that I talked to said bring them on. Let's do something to get people downtown. So let's do it.
Any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will bring it back to the council.
I also guess I probably should mention this as part of the question part, but we're also going to be sort of not blocking off, but allowing vendors on the plaza. That's by the, sorry, my mic is not working. Plaza by the statue. And we've never really done that before. We always left that open. Even on Friday nights on Main, we close off Main Street, but we don't close off all around the entire plaza, all the way to Juanita Lane. This would be a big thing. We expanded version of Friday night on Main. Is it going to be large? Is it going to be bigger than the Arrow Tunes, or just sort of like tents with two underneath them, or what's the vision for that?
So the vision is that we would close off Main Street as we do for Friday nights on Main. The vendors would have tents. The thought being to have some items, probably artisans, up by Fountain Plaza to catch the eye of people going by and make them realize there's something happening and draw them in. Obviously, we want to keep the sidewalk and the thoroughfare open that is in front of the old kitchen store. But the thought was to have something up front to generate some excitement that there's something happening on Main Street.
So, you know, aside from my worrying about our local stores, because there certainly were moments of panic back when the original stores disappeared, I'm glad Steve addressed that to some extent. I hope we keep an eye on it, because we really don't want to create a competition with them. But I think the planning here is remarkable, and you're absolutely right. People have brought up the subject of a farmer's market before, and they're pretty excited about it.
Maybe it would be nice to actually invite the markets to be part of, have their own booth and location within the spot. I think that certainly addresses an element of fairness. We have to, according to Steve, having to be very much in favor of it. That's great, but it, I think offering them the opportunity also to participate in it and not be excluded from it would go a long way towards making it, more palatable. I'm all for what we can do to make downtown more lively. You know, retail is always a challenge. The world is changing. People buy things on the internet now. Don't shop in stores as much. And what we can do to bring people downtown, I'm all in favor of that. I'm a little concerned about the 20 weeks. I think it's a kind of a long stretch. I wonder what it will be like, you know, in the dull days of summer. I'm going to give it a try. And I'll take it to work.
So can I ask, the instructions are to direct staff as to further action. Will you describe what the further action you would like staff to do is?
So we're planning to enter into this contract with Agricultural Community Events, Farmers Markets, and we would, staff would also like authorization from council to close the street those 20 weeks.
Going during the daylight hours.
One to seven is what it said, yeah.
Right. But the street will be closed a little before and a little after.
So would you like a motion to that effect? Or?
Well, does anyone else have any?
I just had one more comment. When this came up, I don't know how many years Woodlands Market has been here. I can't remember. Probably 5 years. It came up before, and I actually met with Don Santa and Randy, who is the general manager. And both at that time had said, you know what, bringing more people to town, that's a good thing. So, I think the merchants, well, hopefully the merchants will say something. Steve's got a meeting tomorrow with the merchants. And so I said before, I'll say it again, anything we can do to help people come downtown and enjoy our community down there is a good thing.
And I have met with the merchants too. We had a meeting at Sam's and tried to get some feedback, and so the merchants that I've spoken to are on board and excited about it.
No, I just think that the variety that the farmer's market brings, I don't think it's going to impact the stores at all. Just when you go to the farmer's market up at the Civic Center, there's just such more variety that the store couldn't possibly help to carry and sell it for a reasonable price. So I think it's great. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be like it's on, you know, the day it's on. So let's try it out. Let's do it. See what happens.
Okay. Can I get a motion?
I would like to move the direction to the staff as you just, the mayor described.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you. All right. We will now go back to item one, the Tiburon Taps Beer Festival. Do I have a staff report?
Yes. Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of the council. At your regular meeting on April 20th, the council heard a presentation from ranch staff regarding a special event permit application to stage the Tiburon Taps Beer Festival at Shoreline Park on September 24th, 2016. As part of the application, the council was also asked to approve a road closure on Paradise Drive in conjunction with that event. After hearing a presentation from ranch staff, listening to public testimony, and discussing it amongst themselves, the council directed ranch staff to return to the council with more information about the event and also with information about potential alternative locations. Kathleen Andrucci, executive director of the ranch, is here tonight to provide an update to council, and a written update has also been provided as part of the staff report.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Andrucci, director of the ranch. This is Jessica. She's a supervisor there. We were asked to look at alternative locations, specifically Arc Row. We went up and looked at it. We found a pretty similar situation to Main Street. In order to have the beer festival on Arc Row, we would have to enclose the area. And in order to leave ADA access and foot traffic access to the stores, we'd have to enclose it on the inside of the sidewalk. So that would leave us with 25 to 22 feet to have the art festival. If you add 10 feet of tents, that leaves us with 12 to 15 feet left of the road to have the art festival. I mean, I keep saying art festivals, that's what we had up there. The beer festival. So in order to have the beer festival up there, the art festival, we didn't have to enclose. It was awesome because they shopped at the stores, and that's why it worked so well up there. So I have been thinking about the difference between the art festival and the beer festival and why one worked so well and one did not work so well. And it's really the enclosure and the people not being able to shop in the stores, because there's that divider between the stores and the people aren't there to shop at the beer festival. They're there to taste beer. So it's a really different event. We also talked to Mrs. Zielinski, and she felt the same way, that this took the street parking away from Arc Row and really added nothing to the merchants at Arc Row. So she was not in favor of having it up there either. So we felt with only 12 to 15 feet, there wouldn't be room to have the band that we'd need on the street. We wouldn't have any place for people to sit. There wouldn't be room for tables or chairs. We would have just enough room for people to walk up and down the street, because it's 800 to 1,000 people. So we came to the conclusion that we didn't think that Arc Row was a good option for it, similar to Main Street not being a good option, because you have to cut out the sidewalks, you have to leave them for the merchants, and we're left with really narrow roadways to have the event. People kept saying to us, Blackie's Pasture, why don't you have it there? The same day, there's already Blackie's Heyday, so we can't have it there. But even if we could have it there, one of the great reasons to have special events in town is to bring people into town to see this amazing town that we have, to see the views, to see the charming downtown. Hopefully they come back at another time and we get the business downtown that we work really hard to get. Blackie's Pasture only brings them so far. They never see downtown, and we don't get that benefit from it. The other thing is there's no ferry that takes you to Blackie's, so we would have everybody driving in and out. We wouldn't have anybody able to just get off the ferry, go to the festival, and head back out that way. We did hear what the residents of Point Tiburon had to say, and of course we have a lot of respect for your opinions and don't want to make a lot of enemies. So we tried to make accommodations based on what you said. So when we originally looked at having the festival on Shoreline Park, we were looking at it from the railroad depot all the way down to the turnaround, and we looked at it afterwards and we said, we could probably cut this in half and there'd be no impact for the people over here, basically, and the impact would just be down at this end instead of the whole road. That's one thing we could do fairly easily. People were concerned that visitors and people at Point Tiburon wouldn't be able to use lawn area, so this area would be all free. we never intended to block off the sidewalk. So people can walk down the sidewalk, get to this area, all of this lawn here is available. We tried to place the band so that it's as far away from condominiums as possible, and the sound would be going in this direction. There'd be no sound shooting back towards the condominium. What else did we say? We'll hire, what's that? The toilets and the dumpsters, we'll have them bought in and taken out the day of, instead of having them look at, you know, having you look at them all weekend. But these are things to try to make it as little impact as we possibly could on you. We would hire a cleanup team to come and clean up the site so that there's nothing left over for you afterwards. We would hire a police officer as well as the security that we normally have. We have 7 security officers at our beer festival. We would hire a Tiburon police officer in addition to that. Just their presence helps out, and if there was any kind of issue, we could take care of it right away. Those are the things that we thought we could do in response to some of your concerns. I have heard other concerns that, you know, it's a crazy drunken crowd, but we do have a 2-year history of this event happening within just a couple hundred yards of where we're proposing that we have it, and we have not had a single issue with any of that. People are well behaved. It's a really nice crowd that comes. They do go visit the merchants after. They go to Sam's. They go to the other restaurants on the street. They're not causing all kinds of problems. They're a good crowd. We've heard that the traffic problem will be horrible when you block off Paradise Drive and people wouldn't be able to get around, but every year the car show does that, and so that's been going on 18 years. There's not been an issue. They bring in just as many people as we would be bringing in. We've heard that community events have to be free and they have to include everyone, but almost all of our community events have a cost for them, we charge for them, and we do have age limits on a lot of things we do. So this is not really different than that. And we feel that Shoreline Park is an incredibly beautiful park. There are only 5 events allowed at Shoreline Park, and that's to protect your lifestyle. And 2 have been approved so far, so this is the 3rd one that's up for approval. It's not like we're asking for the 8th or 9th one. It's within the parameters of what's allowed at that park. Positives, this event will bring people to Tiburon. And I know that the town works really hard at that, the farmers market, all these other events that we do to bring people to downtown Tiburon. This brings 800 to 1,000 people to Tiburon to see downtown Tiburon and help make it a better community. Everybody loves special events until they're in their backyard. This is not the only time we hear this. You ask us to have it at another park, and then we try to have something at another park, and they ask us to have it at another park. Belvedere and Tiburon have actually, I don't think they have any parks that aren't in somebody's backyard. So every time we try to have a special event, there is a community group that comes out and says, not in our backyard, how about their backyard? But really that's just pushing it to somebody else. Nobody actually wants it in their backyard. They want the community events, just not in their backyard. So in the end, you know, we have Shoreline Park. It's an amazing community asset. It is a community asset. It's supposed to be available to everyone, so we think that this is actually the most beautiful place that we can hold here at festival, and we're hoping that that's what happens. Do you have anything to add to that, Jeff?
Okay. Any questions?
How much money is it going to raise for the ranch?
In the past, last year it made $13,000 for us. We do use that money to pay for the utilities at Dairy Knoll, and we also use it to pay for scholarships for seniors or for youth. It doesn't sound like much to a lot of people. I know people say, oh, it's only $13,000, but to our budget, that's impactful. It's our largest fundraiser of the year.
Any other questions? Thank you. This time I would like to open the floor for public comment.
Problem on the issue of the contractual agreement. improper and in violation of the subdivision improvement agreement for the project and of the dedication documents itself. So we think, well, on pretty solid grounds, that the contract is not authorized this kind of event. Also, at the last council meeting, one of the council members said that that they thought that the event was consistent with the town's policy. But the fact is that in the town's youth policy, there is a very important operative clause that we developed with the town a year ago when we were putting the town's policy together. And it says that all special events on town property are subject to the town's special events permit policy, which enables the town, consistent with the park's dedicated documents, to establish the parameters for each special event. So, in other words, if an event is not consistent with the dedicated document, then it is not consistent with the town policy. Our board has not met to discuss what anything we want to do about this. I would only say that I'm hearing a lot from my neighbors. A lot of my neighbors are here today, and I think you can hear, by the strength of the feelings that they have, that the board will be getting some presentation on this. Another note.
If you could wrap up, you're at 3 minutes. And if you could wrap up, you're at 3 minutes. Go ahead.
As to the desirability of the event, I happened to meet the owner of Restaurant Plaza the other day. After that, her reaction was consistent with what the owner wanted to do. She asked her comments that had not been adequately cleaned up. She said that by contrast, the chamber had done a fine job cleaning up and all the way up to the wine cellar. And I just asked that please consider not taking the event as problematic in a commercial site and moving it to the residential site in front of home and on and off the contract.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Can you state your name for the record?
Yeah, E.C. Grayson.
Thank you.
I'm a resident of Round Bayside. And I just have some counsel that I would like to give to the board and all of us. And that is that we live in the umbrella of a sanctuary city. And I don't know what that means, but it's not good. Sanctuary cities are gangs, and there are gangs in San Francisco right now. And I think that the gangs that could be attracted to an event like this should be obvious. They don't care for communities like us, for sure, because what we have, they don't have. Gangs have no interest in the fabulous outdoor shows, the 4th of July, the picnics, the car show, the Friday nights on the main, the fine wine. Beer is different, very different. And the Shoreline Park is a perfect ideal spot for a gang to choose to put a riot. In our community, 1,000 people. I've seen riots. I've seen riots in Egypt. I've seen riots in the Philippines. I was a naval intelligence officer and saw a lot of this stuff. And now it's even worse. All we have to do is look at Paris, Belgium, London, all over Europe. You know, 1,000 people would attract these gangs from San Francisco, I'm sure. The sanctuary city reputation of San Francisco is just gross. Almost every university fraternity in the United States is very close to being thrown off the campus because of beer. Beer. They would love a beer fest on our precious shore. So please don't give it to them. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other public comment? Sure. Come on up.
My name is Betty Beal. And my comment is that we lived here in the 80s and we loved this community dearly. And so when we retired, we wanted to return to Tiburon. It's a very special place. But in all the years we raised our children here, they went to school here. In all the years I've been here, I don't think that a beer fest typifies who we are in Tiburon. I don't think it draws people that spend money, and if that's the objective. And I don't think it's something that I want to say, oh, wow, I live in Tiburon and we have this wild, goofy thing outside our door. We have grandchildren that come. I don't want to have them explain that, you know, Tiburon doesn't care if they drink $54 worth of beer. It sounds a little off the charts to me. It doesn't typify us. And I'm asking you to really think about our community because we should come first. Thank you.
Shows, chili festival, the swim, when you wanted to close it for the Golden Gate Bridge. And we get a lot of events that are not events. Fleet Week, Fire Fair. These are all things that we as residents in Tiburon and as residents of Tiburon, we love. But a beer festival, we believe, goes against our covenant. And isn't exactly what we believe Tiburon should have on their part. We stopped Airbnb because we said people would come in and not the right people and they'd be living in homes and do things that weren't right. And now you're going to have a beer festival right in front of our home and for everyone to see. Now there is another place that you can do it, and we know that they're in trouble right now because there's a conflict with Blackie's pastor. But behind you, we donated, when Point Tiburon was built, we donated an entire greenback here that's bigger than Point Tiburon Commercial Plaza. Also, on a weekend, the only thing that's open here is the library. That could be enclosed. That's within walking distance of the ferry. There's plenty of parking for all of the people that don't take the ferry, which the majority don't. Mrs. Cook, who runs Point Tiburon's Commercial Plaza, did not turn down a dollar for anything. Believe me, we're a partner in a few things. But she's asked the beer festival not to come back, or has restricted that use. Now, we don't want that in front of our home as a resident of Point Tiburon, but as a resident of Tiburon, I don't think we're sending the right message. So I would ask you, please reconsider this festival in front of our home.
Yeah. Any other public comment?
Steve Sears. I think that we're putting a bad light on the beer festival that is, we're hearing from the residents a picture of the beer festival which is not accurate. Beer festival has been going on for 2 years. It was at Point Tiburon. I attended it, at least I went to it to check it out. I didn't see gangs, I didn't see drunk people, I didn't see people who were out of hand. I saw people having a good time. Beer is one of those things that's kind of like the end thing in the city right now. People are really into craft beers. In fact, Sam's has not had draft beer ever since I've been there 38 years. We're putting in draft beer now. There's a big demand for it. So we're putting that in right now. That's the thing that people want. And based on what I saw last year and what I would expect this year, I think you're going to get a pretty sophisticated crowd. People who are going to come and have a good time. It's people who are going to, again, come to town. We're having an event that's actually going to bring a good crowd into town. Most of them will come on the ferry like they did at the wine festival. Lends us to really want it someplace that's close to town and close to the ferry. So I think the Point Tiburon really is kind of like the best place to do it in that respect. The cleanup of the festival and with regard to Mrs. Cook, she called me the day after the beer festival immediately and said that the festival was not clean, would you do something about it? I said, well, I'm Mrs. Cook, I didn't do the beer festival, I don't have anything to do with it. I'd be happy to do it, and I went over there, and the festival, it was clean. As many of you know, I'm the chairman of the wine festival. We've had it at Point Tiburon for many, many years. Mrs. Cook doesn't charge for that. She doesn't charge the beer festival. She does a lot to help promote the town. What she was objecting to with regard to the beer festival, quite frankly, was when beer spills on the ground, you get the odor of the beer for the following day. And she didn't like that. Her people at her stores didn't like that. It doesn't happen with the wine festival. But I have to tell you, the people who are running it did a really good job, and it was cleaned up very well. I don't think that Point Tiburon residents are going to have any odor of beer that might get spilled on the lawn across their street. As you know, I'm friends and know the people here at Point Tiburon, some very fine people, good customers of mine as well. And I think you're overthinking it. It's 4 hours, one day. There's not a lot of things that are going on at Point Tiburon on the lawn there. I know that Kathleen has looked at alternative locations downtown, which is where I'd like to see the beer festival happen, and they don't really make a lot of sense. The money that is raised by the ranch, as she stated, it goes to senior things that the ranch does. They do a really good job. They raise all their own money. It's a self-funded operation. Do a lot of good things in town, and I really think that you guys are looking at it in a negative way that you're really not going to find that's what happens. I think it's a really good event, and give it a chance. Give it, let them do it this year, and I think, if it turns out the bad things that they say are going to happen, then come back, and the council will see it, and we'll do it next year. They'll start setting up in the morning. By 5 o'clock, they'll be gone. It's one day. Why not?
Thank you. Any other public comments?
My name is Ed Letterer. I'm a resident of Point Tiburon and also a voter. And I wouldn't argue the pluses and minuses of a beer festival. I don't think that's the issue, at least not in my mind. In my mind, it's that the beer beer festival is not being invited back to its previous location for reasons. And somebody took that information and decided to not only expand the beer festival, but put it across the street from people's homes. That's the issue, in my opinion. And I think somewhere along the way, people either didn't look at the agreement that we have in place since 84, or if they did, they chose to ignore it. And I see this as a bad precedent, especially since we've worked, I think, very well with the board, various boards over the years, in terms of reaching common ground. So I don't think it's the fact of a beer festival, not in my mind. It's the fact that it's put across the street from our homes in violation of an agreement that's been in place for so many years.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman and Council Members, Jerry Reason, and I am a 2-year volunteer at the Beer Festival, and happily look forward to serving again this year. The and such I was a part of the cleanup, and the area was cleaned up. I can't deny that if someone spills some beer on pavement, that's an issue, but I think that's not a problem in its proposed location, as Mr. Sears pointed out. Clearly, the council all evening long has talked about how to get people downtown. This is an excellent way to do that, and it deals perfectly with our mass transit special arrangement, namely the ferry service. So I think it's perfect, and also, again, echoing Mr. Sears, I think everybody is aware that beer today is just as elite a beverage as wine is. The people for whom I poured beer at the festival previous 2 years were all talking about one brewery versus another. This is not a fraternity get drunk event, and I think it's an excellent message to send to your community that you want to bring fun events here and show off the town. I hope you support it.
My name is Julie Jacobs, and I'm a resident of Point Tiburon Bayside, and I appreciate your giving us this opportunity to discuss this issue. Thank you. And I think we're all here living in Tiburon, and you're participating in this governmental body because we really appreciate and respect the beauty of this area. That's what attracted us here. That's what makes us want to invest our hearts and souls. And there has been an agreement about the use of the most beautiful part of our town, the Bayshore Park. And this use is respecting and appreciating the beauty of our surroundings. I think anyone who's been to a fraternity party is aware that respect and appreciation are not the highest values that are present in such an activity. And when the promotional materials for this event talk about bottomless beer tasting, that doesn't sound like an opportunity to appreciate different kinds of beers. That sounds like a fraternity party. And as you are considering events that show off the natural beauty of our area, give us an opportunity to share it with others who will respect it as we do and value it as we do. I think this activity is not one that's a great fit for that. Thank you for considering this.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring you back. But I did, if you don't mind, if I put you on the spot, there has been some question about if anyone has looked into the legal point regarding the dedicating documents and the town use policy, and I know that you did look into that, so if you don't mind just giving us your brief thoughts.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Tolini. We have looked at it, and we do believe this fits within the confines of the dedication documents. Both attorneys who wrote on behalf of the HOA, Point Tiburon folks, are choosing different areas of the dedicating documents, but the document that controls the dedication is the final map. And on that final map, it says we can use the park for recreational and public purposes, and other purposes, but this isn't historical. So it really depends on the language of what is recreational. And I think that is within the sound discretion of the council to determine whether this activity constitutes something that's recreational. Just because we have a fence or charge admission doesn't mean it's not open to the public or it's not recreational. So I feel confident that the dedicating documents do give us this flexibility. And these dedicating documents were incorporated into the park policy. So we really are, I think the homeowners and myself are looking at it in the same lens. We're not refuting that the park policy doesn't reference these documents, they do. But we do believe that the activity is encompassed within those dedicating documents.
Thank you.
We did revise the policy last summer, and that policy, we did work with the homeowners with the revisions to that policy,
correct.
But I think that was done after the 50th anniversary. Well, the policy, the way I read the policy, is it incorporates the restrictions. It has to be for a public use. All the activity on the site has to be for public use. All the activity has to be for a recreational purpose. But then, you know, assuming it meets those hurdles, it's for a public use and it's for a recreational purpose, then we are guided by our policy as to how many times a year we're going to allow special events on the block. Something for a for-profit, not recreational, and closed to the public completely. So if we had an event where we leased it to a wedding, Google's corporate, you know, Salesforce wants to come in here and set up an event, that would be problematic. But the mere fact of having an entrance fee doesn't make it not a public event. Assuming there's a couple of other issues as far as views, but if it's temporary, yes, it would be, as long as you're not erecting permanent structures.
I'm going over 5 times a year.
So it's pretty broad basket of events, and the only restriction is the number of events.
Correct. Our policy restricted our use more than what the dedicating documents restrict us to.
Like to bring it back to council.
Well, I think we just vetted something that was on my mind, and that is our ability to approve or not approve an event such as the Beer Fest in the Shoreline Park area. And I think that based on the council that we've received, the town has the ability to do that if we so choose to do that. So I don't think the issue tonight is about whether we can or we can't. It's about should we. And I first compliment the rec group and the ranch for the various events that they put on. They do a great job. And they do need to raise money. It's a nonprofit. And they work hard to do that. They work hard to support our community. The Beer Fest has created some angst in lots of places. It's a difficult place, difficult thing to put on. The Point Tiburon Plaza, it was obviously the perfect place. The Wine Festival had set, is it 32, Steve, or 33? 33 years of success of putting on the event, and John Cook has been a great supporter of that. I was at the first beer fest and volunteered and poured beer. It was a fairly calm and wonderful event. I wasn't there at the second one, but I understand it was a good event. But for whatever reason, John Cook decided not to invite them back. Other areas have been looked at. Park Row and Main Street. I'm not an event coordinator. I don't know exactly how to put one on. I don't know exactly how to fence things off. But I think if you worked hard enough, you could find a way to do it on Main Street, because you also have a Ferry Plaza there that might be an element that could be utilized. And you also have the plaza sitting around coming about. So if you worked hard, we've had big events downtown. You remember the skating rink that ice rink we had down there for Christmas? So somehow, some way, there might be a way. Is it the most ideal? I would agree that probably isn't. Black East Pasture is another thought. It's too bad the date's taken. Well, maybe we need to move the beer festival to a different date. As a side commentary, I had a comment with one of my council colleagues in Belvedere about this. I said, why don't we consider Belvedere Park? It's a nice park. They do events there. They could hold a beer fest there. I believe the comment was it would be a non-starter. It's a residential area. And so it's not about, is the beer fest a good event to have or a bad event to have? I think it's about the location. And I think putting a beer fest, or for that matter, if for whatever reason the chamber said we want to move the wine festival to in front of Shoreline Park, I'm not so sure that we'd want to do that. And so unless my colleagues can convince me otherwise, that the beer fest belongs on Shoreline Park, where it's being recommended to take place, I'm not going to be able to support it tonight. Maybe there's an argument that will change my mind.
Sure. I agree with my fellow council members' comments or conclusions. What is uncomfortable about this event, for me, is the location. Independent of legalities of policy and the agreements with the Point Tiburon residents, I have this distaste for branding Tiburon as a place where you have alcohol festivals. And I think putting it on Shoreline Park is such an event because of basically it's our stellar park, with views of the bay and of San Francisco, of the Golden Gate Bridge. I think it's a primary view for many of the residents from their homes. And really, it's one of the two places where you can enjoy this view from flat, accessible areas. And I understand, as redesigned, and I think that was a huge move to accommodate some of the objections, that wouldn't be such a problem. But I think of the other southern Marin cities. When you think of Sausalito, you think art festival. You think fantastic fireworks. You think lighted boat parade. You think herring festival. Mill Valley has this great film festival. They have Throckmorton Theater. They have art walks. And they have a wine and food festival, but it's not in one of their prime parks. My reservation is location, not necessarily the event, and not necessarily the legalities of it. I don't want our major brand to be the place where they have great alcohol events. I think beer, as has been said before, is now the new fad. People like to talk about APA and hops and the different mixtures of hops and herbs in a beer, but it's still the second alcohol festival. I understand that. It generates a lot of money. If you serve alcohol, sell alcohol, you really do make money. But I would like to see it be lower profile. People who like it will come, even if it's not on Shoreline Park, and my reservations are really location.
Well, I'm going to disagree with my two colleagues.
I know it, and you know what it stands for?
No, what it stands for?
Indian Pale Ale.
So, and that's actually one of the points of why I would support the beer festival here, because it is actually really more a craft beer festival, and I think that some of the beers that have been stoked with respect to the people that would be attending, how the event would be run and managed, and how the event would be cleaned up are a little bit unfounded. And I think that this location provides the best opportunity for the beer festival's success. Not only success for itself, but success for our downtown that we just talked about, and also success for our joint rec department, which this council has now put on notice that they must operate completely independently without any further subsidy from the town council. And you wonder, why would we do that? Well, we built a $2 million facility up there and subsidized it for a couple of years. And this coming year, they're supposed to now run at a break-even level. This money is important. The rec department does many wonderful events in town, father-daughter dances, Angel Island camps, Easter egg hunt things, wonderful things. It's not just about the beer festival. I think we all can look at the audience and know that there are very wonderful people on both sides of this issue. I know a lot of you in the audience there. And I just think that moving it effectively, 200 yards from its current location, or its old location, to this potential new location, wouldn't be that much of a burden on residents that are there and for the very few hours that it will occur. And so for that reasons and for the fact that I believe it would stand any legal challenge, I'm in support of the proposal.
So I've been to both beer festivals. I'm not even a drinker. I probably have two light beers a year. I don't really drink anything, but I noticed quite a few people at the wine festival that probably overtasted. And I didn't see anybody on the street, but when I was at the beer festival both years, we tasted three or four different beers, and it was fine, but it's a hot day. I kind of wanted to get out there, went over to Sam's, had lunch, had a nice time. I think I always look at things as a compromise. And I think if you're part of a community, that's part of being part of that community. It means not always getting your way and not always giving up everything. And when I look at this, I think 4 hours out of 8,600 or whatever it is a year is not a lot to compromise and give up so that one of our more valuable assets in town, which is our recreation department that does so much for elders, community, for children, to raise $13,000, that's $3,200 an hour. If they want to have it in my front yard, I'd let them do it to raise that kind of money. And you can't fit 1,000 people in my front yard, but to know what it does for this community, I would be, bring them in. You got the police here, you've got people fencing it off. I think that it does a lot. And if there's another way to raise it, if all the people that are against it want to say, hey, we'll donate $100, everybody lives at Point Tiburon, to get this out of our front yard, and we'll raise $13,000 just not to have it, heck, let's do it. Let's do it that way. But I think 4 hours, if I lived there and it was 4 hours of my time to raise this money for this organization, I would go up to Napa for the day, or I'd go to the beach for the day, or, it takes 45 minutes to get to Stinson. You go over there, spend 2 hours, you come back. So I think it's valuable what's there, and I totally respect that it's people's front yards. But I think for what it's worth and what we're doing for the community, and that we have a wine festival 25 yards away, that is okay, but beer isn't. You know, I don't think it's going to be a drunken brawl. I can't speak to, you know, what riots are going to happen or what type of, you know, unsavory types of people we're going to bring into Tiburon. But we don't have a brand. Tiburon doesn't have a brand. We're trying to put something out there. And I think it's not one thing. It's not we're an alcohol festival or we're a car festival. I think what it is that Tiburon, if we're a brand, and that's my business, the brand should be that we're a community that wants to share what we have with people that appreciate it. And I think this is one way to do it. It's just 4 hours. So I'm sure that between the lawyers that have been consulted on this, the homeowners meetings, it's probably more than 4 hours that's been spent trying to put this thing away. So I respect the people of Point Tiburon. I love what they have over there. I'm jealous a lot of times of how lucky they are, but I think sometimes as a community, sharing an asset is part of being part of that community. And compromise, which I see, they did. They cut this thing down from all along the park to a very small area. You know, I would like, if it could be somewhere else, I would support it as well. And I understand what Kathleen was saying about Art Grow. 12 feet, it could be a problem. So I'd be supportive of it, which goes a little bit against where I'd like to see it, but I think for the amount of time and the money it can raise for the good it can do, I think that the compromise is worth it. So I'd be where Emmett is on this right now.
Okay. I hear all the concerns of Point Tiburon, and I understand that you're worried about this being in your front yard. Your front yard is beautiful and one of the best parts of Tiburon. That being said, you know, part of living in one of the most beautiful places in Tiburon is people want to be there and people want to congregate there, and that balance has to be weighed. And I think that's part of the reason that we put together the policies and we had the meetings and we discussed what's allowed and how many times a year is it allowed, and came up with these parameters. And in my opinion, a beer festival is recreational. It fits within those parameters. It does great things as far as the bottom line for the ranch, and it does good things for downtown Tiburon, which I've spent so many hours with this farmer's market and talking to merchants and, you know, door to door. I can't explain how many times I've heard the merchants downtown say to me, anything you can do to bring people here, to give us more exposure, to just let people know what we're about and, you know, bring new people that haven't perhaps seen downtown Tiburon, doesn't know exactly what's happening here, that would really help us. So in my opinion, kind of to Frank's point, the 4 hours that this is an inconvenience to me is outweighed by the benefit that I think it can do for the community.
I would just like to clarify that I am going to vote against not the event, but the location.
I'd also like to just clarify that I think that there should be some visuals for this particular festival. The three of us seem to support it. And whether that, you know, the chief asked his officer to put a sign or working in the overtime, extra, you know, to sort of like make a report.
I think all of our festivals are vetted. Like, we really think hard about what's going to be and what's the effect going to be and what the outcome's going to be. Like, none of them are just, yeah, let's just do it. And I think that's why we feel a responsibility towards, you know, towards doing stuff like this.
Yeah, I would, I'd agree with Alice. I support the beer fest. I'm not a fan of the location. I also want to question, Steve, how many hours do you run the wine festival? And I think we talked about that at our last meeting. We were going to run the beer fest, whatever we had, the same number of hours. So it would be 3 hours, not four, I believe. I think that was a discussion. So I'd like that, whatever the council decides, I'd like that to be a consideration. And if it turns out that three council members are supporting that location and two aren't, that's, you know, I'd still like to be part of the whatever resolution we come up with, that it's a 3-hour festival, not a 4-hour festival. Same as the wine festival?
2 to 5.
Or 1 to 4, is that when you have it, Steve? Yeah, so we could mirror that. Can we take the half an hour off the wine festival? That's right, you resigned from that.
No
today.
Back and forth here, people.
I agree with you, but I respectfully disagree on the hours. We talked about this at the last meeting, and I thought we didn't obviously make a resolution or a vote, but I thought we had said, let's do it the same as the wine festival. So I think that's a good thing to do. We already have a precedent. I think we follow precedent on everything, but we have a precedent. I think, you know, it's a trial, so let's trial it in a mirror way that we would do the wine festival. Item 2 of the action items, the town refuse contract extension. Do I have a staff report?
Yes, Mayor, members of the town council. In July 2011, the town entered into a new franchise agreement with Mill Valley Refuse Service. The initial term of this contract is for 10 years, which runs through June 30th of 2021. And it provides for 2 5-year extension periods. The deadline for the council to consider the first 5-year extension, which would bring the contract through June 30th of 2026, is June 30th of this year. This extension would occur automatically unless the council chooses not to extend the agreement. If the council determines it desires to extend the agreement, it'll have another opportunity to consider the second 5-year extension in 2021. And I would say the town has enjoyed what I think is a very good relationship with Mill Valley Refuse Service since 1965. Mill Valley Refuse is always responsive to requests of our individual citizens and town staff relating to all aspects of its refuse collection services. The current agreement appears to be working well, providing this vital service to residents and businesses in the town. The purpose of this item is to provide council the opportunity to exercise its rights under the agreement in a timely manner, should it have significant concerns with the current agreement with Mill Valley Refuge Service. If the council is satisfied with the agreement and wants to approve the first 5-year extension, it may choose to acknowledge that in a motion. If it determines it does not wish to extend the contract, it should direct staff to deliver a notice of non-extension as required by the agreement in a timely manner. It's recommended that the council consider the matter and take action to either extend or not extend the current agreement with Mill Valley Refuge Service. And I would note Jim Iberoni is here. He's the managing director for Mill Valley Refuge Service. So if you have any questions of him, he would be happy to answer them. If you have any other questions, I or Greg would also be happy to try to answer them.
Heidi, we talked about this when the last contract came up, and at least the conversation was we should at least have it in front of us to make that decision. So if we decide we want to not exercise the option, and just, does that void the contract after the end of this period, or do we still have the ability to go back and say, well, now we're approaching the end of the first term, we'd like to, you know, continue to go forward? Or is this a drop-dead date, you know, June 30th, 2016, it's go or no go?
I maybe Greg wants to try to
we'll
answer
let that.
If we exercise the option, the agreement would be terminated at the end of 5 years, and I don't think you'd have the flexibility a year, you know, the year before it terminates to then re-enter it on new terms. I think you'd still have to go forward with the process of going out and finding a new service. They could bid on the new service, but I don't think you could.
Do we have the ability to say, you know what, you know, things are going smoother than, or going to where we like now, but can we revisit this in 2 years? In other words, change a term in the contract. So instead of giving Mill Valley Refuge 5 years notice, we want to give you 3 years notice.
We don't have that unilateral ability.
Right. I understand.
If we can negotiate an amendment and bring that before the council, before the extension period expires, that would be one option.
Okay.
So it's my understanding of why certain services are provided with what is called evergreen contracts is because the businesses incur capital costs and need long-term guarantees of what their business is. So were we to do something like that, we'd essentially be putting, not all by ourselves, but in some increment, the viability of the business at risk. I think I see our financial director.
Like, sure, come on up.
Just on that one particular question, while it is true that we tend to make purchases that, like large purchases such as trucks that are depreciated over 10 years, I don't think I can stand here and say that is something that I think you should, that I feel like that I'm really worried about in this particular case. We've made some very large purchases recently of our trucks. And while, as I say, while it is true, we like to have the comfort of knowing that we have 10 years to go on a contract, I don't really think that that's something that I'm worried about in this case. I think it's not something that is going to affect the rates for the next 5 years if you would vote to not approve the contract, this first five-year extension right now. I think there are other very good reasons to give us that extension, but I don't think that is a reason that I would raise myself.
It's the only one I've ever heard of. What are the others?
Well, I think the reason that you have a contract with us is really what the, with Heidi, and I thank Heidi for what she's written. I think what the staff report says, we have been around since the 1960s. We do provide responsive service and services to the residents that respond to the changing needs of communities that want to recycle and compost, and we know the town. We've picked up your trash for all of this, for all of these decades, and I think it's an indication of the town Tiburon's residents being happy with our service. By how many people are here tonight to talk against us? Which is nobody. So maybe they're all watching the Warriors game. Maybe I'm lucky tonight. But I do think that if there is something wrong with our company in the way that it is serving Tiburon residents, that there would be people here telling you that. And we're not seeing them here. Now, there is a sentence here that says, other than concerns with annual rate increase requests, the agreement appears to be working well. I would say that is absolutely true. And if there are things about the annual increases and the way rates are done, we're willing to talk changes in the contract to satisfy those concerns. I mean, it's something we are willing to do. So it's not like you have to hold our feet to the fire by not extending the contract to get us to come to the table and meet with concerns that you have. It's something that we're always willing to do.
Any other questions? Thank you. This time I would like to open it to public comment. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council.
I'll just say one or two things that people have addressed to me is, as Jim said, I think people are starting to feel, and this isn't directly to people, but there's this feeling of nickel and dime that goes on. So one of the Marin Water District, like we have the
That's correct. If the council simply did nothing, the extension would automatically occur on June 30th. We simply stated that if the council wished to acknowledge the fact that by not voting negatively, that they are extending it 5 years, that's all. But no action is required if you wish to allow the extension to go forward.
Any other town council comments? If you guys have covered it well. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Okay, at this point, I would like to move to action item number 4, appointments to boards, commissions, and committees. But I have a staff report. Like open public comment, seeing none, close that. Yes, can I get a motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Do we have any town council reports? When does that end? That'll sunset at some point.
PCIA?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that is the battle royale of battles. Thousands of legal hours.
I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah.
Directionally, you're going the right way. I mean, when was the last time you heard of utility with lowering rates?
We're actually carrying a torch to eliminate the PCIA for various reasons, and certainly should be mitigating over time. And actually, it's been rising.
Yeah, I would just, Councilmember O'Donnell, there had been talk in the past of adding staff to the Public Works Department, particularly for parks and recreation type activity, and I simply suggested that, you know, it's probably makes more sense, and certainly in my experience, that seasonal staff would often work well in that capacity, and there are options for us, whether that's just simply advertising for seasonal staff part-time work, or looking at the Conservation Corps for some of the folks who may provide that service to us. So council will be seeing that in the budget that's we bring to you on June 1st, and we can certainly talk in more detail about it then.
Council reports? Town manager report?
Just echoing what Councilmember O'Donnell said, you know, there was a budget committee meeting on Monday. We now have direction from the budget committee to make some modifications to what was proposed, and we will be bringing the budget proposal to council on June 1st, and then again returning to council on June 15th for hopefully approval of that budget.
Okay, thank you. At this point, I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
Is this working? Is it working now? Now it's working a little bit. Wow. It had a rolling buzz. Yeah.